الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة والأخوات، dear brothers and sisters in Islam, usually, as all the brothers who've been listening to me before, I give my lectures in Arabic and ask somebody to translate it. But since the brother asked me to start this lecture or give it in English, I will, inshallah, try my best so you can understand the message I want to deliver today for everyone, and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those people who subhanahu wa ta'ala remember them and pronounce their names with the angels, which is better than this majlis or this place we are now. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who receive the mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us among the people of Jannah and save us from the hellfire. I might change the topic a little bit, the title of the topic, which is the Prophet ﷺ dead. I will talk about this, but before I talk about the Prophet ﷺ dead, I would like you, all of your brothers and sisters, just to think with me about one thing before we will go to talking about the Prophet ﷺ dead, which is why the Prophets, they are special. Why the Prophets, they are different. First of all, why there is a special touch when we talk about the Prophets. Why there is something in the heart that touches your heart when we talk about the Prophets. And when we talk about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said America, it's a land of dreams, or the land who makes stars, or anyone has dream, he will be able to do it here in America. I believe this is for a reason. The people saying that, the people think this is the land of power, where everybody look at it as a guide who's guide the world now. This is because a logic things, which is, if you want to affect in any people, in any community, if you want to be ahead of any community, if you want to change the history, if you want to have a lot of followers, you have to use a language which is, can affect an other, and it can, this language can let the people accept your speech, accept your da'wah, what you're talking about. People from long, long time ago, brothers and sisters, looking for the language which is, can be affect in public, how to make followers. Some of them use the language of desires. And the desires, when we talk about desires, there is three kind of desires. The first one, love of power and fame. Second, the sexual lust. Third, the money. This is the desires. Three types of desires. And the second language, it is the logic. The logic. And the third language, it is the emotion language. The soft talk. The nice way of talk. And in these three ways, you can have a lot of followers. If you look at the leaders in any community in the history, the leaders for any nations in the history, you'll find them using one of these languages. The kings who have the power, law of power of faith, have positions, they have a lot of followers. The businessmen, the rich people, they have a lot of followers. People look at them as high station. They're on a high station or higher station. And the people who using the even the desire which is the sexual lust, they have a lot of followers. And you can see the actors, the Hollywood stars, they are stars. They're role models for people. You agree with me? And we use this language, it's cheap language, but it has a lot of people that like it, they follow it. And the logic, like the philosopher, they are followers, they are something in the history. When you read about the philosopher, they have a lot of followers, people admire them, they following them, because they use the language of logic. And you can tell also in the history, you'll find a special place, station for the novelist, the poet, the shu'ara, the udaba, who's making the poetry or writes the stories, those novels. They are leaders because they use the language of emotions. People affect, you can affect in people by using any one of these languages. But the question is, where is the prophet between those people? The answer is that prophets, they are in the top. Not because we are believers, no. Because the language the prophet used. Because the prophet has something special. All of the type of people, they don't know about. The prophets use the language of desire, if we can use this word. They use the language of logic, emotion. But that's not all. They have one more language. They use it. And no one can ever use it except the prophets and the follower of the prophets, which is the language, what we call the fitrah. Khitab al-fitrah. The speech to the natural feeling you have in your heart, which is the belief, the iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the Quran, and the Prophet explained this ayah, that he creates every single person with something we call it fitrah, which is a belief in his heart. فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ. This fitrah is something in your heart that you know that you have a Lord, you have Rabb, you have Ilah, someone who created you, someone who brought you to this dunya, to this life, and just a natural feeling that you love Him, you trust Him. You feel rest when you came close to Him. And you feel fear when you go away from Him. You have a fear in your heart when you go away from Him. Which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah created Adam, مَسَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِ آدَمَ فَأَخْرَجَ مِنْهُ النَّاسَ كَهَيْئَةِ الدَّهْرِ أرواح البشر. فقال لهم الله ألست بربكم قالوا وقلنا جميعا بلى أنت ربنا وذلك مصداق قول الله تعالى في القرآن ثم قرأ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قول الله تعالى وإذ أخذ ربك من بني آدم من ظهورهم ذريتهم وأشهدهم على أنفسهم ألست بربكم قالوا بلى شهدنا أن تقولوا يوم القيامة إنا كنا عن هذا غافلين. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought on His back all of the people, all of His sons, you, me, your son, your father, every single person. His soul was exist that day, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
ask this soul, all the souls, I'm your Lord, and all of us, we said, yes, you are our Lord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't come on the day of judgment. Said, we forgot about that. We don't remember that. You were forgot. Therefore, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the messenger to remind us about that day. To remind us about our Creator, about our Lord, about our Ilah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, the prophets using the language which is no one know about except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he taught his messengers about, which is the speech to the fitrah, to the natural feeling in your heart. Wallahi, I couldn't forget a non-Muslim. He was listening to the Quran. He didn't know a single word of Arabic. I never heard about it before, Arabic before. And one brother recites a couple of verses, and one verse from the Quran to him, Ayatul Kursi. He didn't know what it means. And he recited at the same time a couple of sentences in Arabic, from Arabic language, Dahaba Muhammad Rasul, just a regular sentence in Arabic. He didn't know what's this, what's that. He said the first one is different. Try it with anyone. He will say something natural. He said, this is different. Because this is Allah's word. This is the Allah's speech. Hada kalamullah. It's a different when it touched the hearts. That the special language the prophets came with. The prophets, they were not looking for having large number of people. The prophets were not looking for position in their societies. They were not looking for money. قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا. Clear, all of the prophets make it clear. I'm not asking for money. When da'wah, when calling people for Islam, I start to connect to money, I'm not making money from that. It's da'wah, it's a message. The prophets came to save the people, to show their mercy to the people. I'm not going talking about prophets. Just let's see who's that prophet. We are going to listen or to talk about his last moments in this life. Who's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved, he was born in Mecca after the famous story about the field, the people of field of elephants when they came try to destroy the Kaaba. I know most of you know about, or all of you know about this story, but I'm not going to these details. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them, harisun alaykum. He's worried about you. Is he? He's worried about you. Is he? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent his life for every one of you. You know that or you're not? You have to know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the one who delivered this deen to you. You are Muslim today because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered the message. If he didn't, you'll not be Muslims. And this is a great ni'mah from him upon us. That every single Muslim, his reward go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he's the one who started the da'wah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just to show you how much he's worried about us, once he was asked, Ya Rasulullah, Aisha radiallahu anha asked him, Ya Rasulullah, would you tell me what is the hardest day you have ever seen in your life? What is the hardest day you have ever seen in your life? It's a good question. What is the hardest day, the worst day in your life? We're waiting. Is the worst day in his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you think? When he was praying in Mecca, front of the Kaaba, and he's making his sujood, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Kuffar Mecca, the Kuffar in Mecca that day came. يَحْمِلُونَ سَنَ الْبَعِيرِ سَنَ الْجَزُورِ وَدَمَهُ وَرَفَتَهُ. They came to the Prophet ﷺ while he was making sujood. They have the camel's blood, intestines, and they throw it above the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ's back, laughing, making fun of him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And no one saved him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the people that day. Nobody that day can help him, except his little daughter coming from Mecca, running, Fatima radiallahu anha wa Allah, to clean her father's back while he's making sujood. And she hearing, they're laughing, laughing, laughing at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's the hardest day, Ya Rasulullah. When the Kuffar Quraysh said, we are going to make a decision between us and the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No more talking, no more trading. No one can buy anything from them. They cannot buy anything from us. There's no food, no drink, nothing for Muhammad and his people and his follower. You know what happened that day to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions? The narration said they used to eat the trees. They used to suck the stone looking for water. And maybe 3 or 4 people suck one date the whole day. That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that your hardest day? And he stay like that in Shi'b Abi Amr. A valley, the Ahl Mecca, let the Prophet ﷺ stay in that place where there is no food, no drink, nothing. In the sunny day, they were spending the whole day in the ground. Or his worst day, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Kuffar said, Ya Rasul, when decided to kill Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he got an idea, which is, they said, from each tribe, we will choose one knight. And all the knights gather together in the nights, and we will kill Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So no one asked for his blood, no one was looking for revenge from his people. You listening? Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told, and he get out from his house looking for Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu wa arda. And every day Abu Bakr was asking Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Ya Rasulallah, sahbatuk, I want to accompany you to Medina. And then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he said, it's today, Ya Abu Bakr, today we're going. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that was my best day in my life. But I'm going to the Prophet to accompany him to Medina. He left his land. He left his town. He left the place he raised. He left the place he has all of his memories, where his people living. Has a strong position in Mecca. He's from a very high level tribes, or a good tribes in Mecca. He left all of that behind his back, going to a new land, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he get out from Mecca, he look at Mecca. نَظَرَ إِلَى مَكَّةَ بِنَظَرٍ حَسِيرٍ وَنَفَسٍ حَارٍ وَأَنْفَاسٍ حَارَّةٍ. He said a word, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He looking at Mecca sadly, saying this words, which is full of sadness, saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I swear by Allah, you are the most beloved land to my heart.
والله إنك لأحب البقاء إلي ولولا أن أهلك أخرجوني منك ما خرجت منك أبدا.
والله, you are the most beloved land to my heart. Just because your people led me to move out from you, I will never move out from Mecca. And he left it. He went to Medina. He went to Medina with one person, new land, to establish a new life. Is that the worst day, Ya Rasulullah, in your life? Still the answer is no, not. What's the hardest day?
When Uhud, when the Prophet ﷺ was and his companion were fighting the mushrikeen, and for a small mistake, some Sahaba, the Prophet ﷺ told him, you have to stay in this mountain. If the kuffar try to come from our back, you fight them, so you will not get a chance to come from the back side.
But the Sahaba thought the battle is finished. So they left their position without the Prophet Muhammad's permission, looking for collecting the money and the ghanaim, and they thought that the war is finished. But the kuffar turned and then they start killing the Muslims. You know what happened that day? Everybody prayed from death. People left everything behind them. People heard that Muhammad was killed. So they said, there is no benefit from fighting, let's go back. He was killed. Some new Muslims, they don't know, they thought he was killed, khalas. Then the Prophet ﷺ, being alone with a couple of his companions and a woman, I'm saying that to sisters so they can listen. A woman, Ummu Imara, radiallahu anha wa ardaha. A woman. She saved Prophet Muhammad ﷺ from death. She put her shoulders once to save her Prophet, to save our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And that woman spent one year trying to heal it or to get back normal. 1 year it's bleeding, this woman. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, I was looking right, left, founding Ummu Imara, this woman, trying to save me once by her chest, once by her back, once tried to push the Muhammad ﷺ so he didn't get hurt. He said, I wouldn't turn right or left if I found her. Her position today in this battle, it's better than Ali Fulan wa Ali Fulan. It's better than thus person and that person. And the Prophet ﷺ was injured. دخلت حلقات المغفر في وجنته. He was injured, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His cheek was bleeding. His tooth was broken. His ankle was bleeding. And his companion was killed. His uncle Hamza was killed badly. His companion, his best companion, was killed in front of him. The people he loves most were killed in front of him. Is that the worst day in your life, Ya Rasulullah? No. The answer is still not. What's the hardest day in his life? When the kuffar came around Mecca from everywhere, they came son of Mecca, Medina, trying to destroy the Islam, to erase it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the situation that the mu'mineen that time, they start thinking, وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. They start having a doubt in your hearts. The narration said, we were not able to go just outside for a few meters. It's very dark. No one can feel safe just to go outside to fulfill his natural thing, to go out for like a battle or something. He couldn't. He's afraid. And with all of this, the Jew break the promise with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they said, we are not going to save your back anymore. If the kuffar want to enter Medina, let them to do it. There's only women inside and children. بلغت القلوب الحناجر. The hearts, it's a metaphor. If the hearts reach to your, like, to the mouth, to up, it means they're so scared. And they start to have a doubt in their hearts. Oh, what will happen? Is this the worst day? Or when his companion were not finding something to write? And when the people used to ride, what, three ride the same camels. And three of the Sahaba used one date the whole day. حتى اشتكوا إلى رسول الله قالوا يا رسول الله قد أحرق التمر بطوننا قد أحرق التمر بطوننا يا رسول الله. Our stomach burned from eating dates only and all dates. لا إله إلا الله. What a hard lives he faced صلى الله عليه وسلم. Is that the hardest day? Still the answer no. So what's the hardest day, Rasulullah? Tell us. To know how he is, how he think, how he feel. What is in his mind? What is in his heart? So we can learn from you, Ya Rasulullah. He said, the worst day, the hardest day in his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went to Al-Ta'if, يَسْتَنْبِتُ لِلدَّعْوَةِ أَرْضًا جَدِيدًا. He looking for a new land to plant this Islam in it. To start his da'wah in a new land after the Quraysh, they rejected. You know Quraysh, what they used to do? When they hear there's anyone Muslims, man or woman, they used to punish them the worst thing you can imagine in your life. They used to bring like stick fire and put it in the fire until it turned to red, very, very hot. Then they will come to the Muslims, women, that day, and they will say, heal. Return back to the kufr. Curse the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't be Muslim anymore. Or we will. And then they will put this stick like under her chest or in her tashta tanaya shahmiha. They will put it that there's sticks like under her where the fat is. They will put it so you can feel the fat. They said it used to, the fat used to melt on the iron until it will be cooled. The fat will cool it. And they never will go back. We haven't heard any single Muslim that day to return back. He said, no, I'm kafir. I quit. None of them. Bilal used to, Abu Jahl's kids used to come to Bilal radiallahu anhu. And his wounds opened. And they used to touch his bones by their fingers playing on him. And he keep on saying, Ahadun Ahad, la ilaha illallah. And now if somebody look at you in the street, that means I cannot become anymore like dressing like this, or praying, or doing that, or going to job. I have to change. I have to be, he's afraid just from somebody looking at him. And the Prophet he found his companions under this pressure. He went to Taqif, to Bani Taqif, to Taif. But the answer was worst. The reject was stronger. They reject his da'wah worse than Quraysh, worse than people of Mecca. They curse him, they insult him. They stone him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They let the kids talk bad about him, following him, pushing him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until he left the Ta'if, sad. And his ankle was bleeding from stoning him. The narration said, he was like this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walking 50 kilometers. He said, I found myself in the Jamrat al-Aqaba al-Kubra. He found himself at Jamrat al-Aqaba. 50 kilometers, he didn't know where is he going. Because they curse him, because they stung him. Let's see. Is this the reason he was sad? Is this the reason was making him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sad and sorry? He found himself at Jamrat al-Aqaba al-Kubra, calling his Lord, praying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking, if you're not having anger on me, if you're not angry on me, Ya Allah, I'm fine. He's worried that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry of him, so the people reject his da'wah. He's worried. Allahumma illam yakun bika ghadabun alayya fala ubali. لكن رحمتك وسعت كل شيء يا أوسع لي. He asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his mercy. Then Jibreel came saying, Allah heard what you just said, and Allah sent with me the angel of the mountains. Just order him now and he will destroy that village, make you head sad. Said like this. In no time. لَمْحْكَ الْبَصَرِ Just say, destroy them. There will no any more ta'if or taqif. If he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sad, because they stung him, because they cursed him, because they insulted him, if he was sad because something personal, he will say, go ahead and destroy them. But you know what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, no. Ya Rasulallah, even if they are not going to be Muslims, they are not going to accept Islam. They are kuffar. Let them destroy it. He said, no. Ya Rasulallah, that's amazing. They are not Muslim. They are not going to be Muslim. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no. No. They might be Muslims from their children, from the next generation, third generation, fourth generation, who knows? لا إله إلا الله ما أمضى عزمه صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أبعد نظره صلى الله عليه وسلم. He looking so far. He has صلى الله عليه وسلم full trust in Allah that his message, his da'wah, it will reach even if this not generation, next generations. He wasn't looking for something for himself. The thing was harm him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, most. Hurts him most, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When somebody reject his da'wah, when somebody turn his back to him, not listening to him, when somebody he know that he is going to the hellfire and he couldn't save him, hold him tight from throwing himself to the hellfire. What a big heart, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إذا لم يستطع أن يأخذ بحجزة مسلم عن النار صلى الله عليه وسلم كان هذا أعظم ما يؤذيه. لا إله إلا الله. الله سبحانه وتعالى sends couple of verses in the Quran. لعلك باخع نفسك على آثارهم ألا يكونوا مؤمنين. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was going to kill himself. Sorry about the people who didn't accept Islam. Allah سبحانه وتعالى said, no, don't kill yourself. Don't go, don't reach that level. You deliver the message, and that's it. But the Prophet ﷺ still has this feeling in his heart. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ He's worried about you. Anas رضي الله عنه said, مَا مَاتَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ The Prophet ﷺ, before he passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tell us everything. Every single thing he told us. Everything it's good or bad, he told us. So, we will be stay away from the bad things or practicing the good things. مَا مَاتَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَّا وَأَخْبَرَنَا أَوْ عَلَّمَنَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حتى ما من طائر يقلب جناحيه في السماء إلا وعلمنا منه أمرا أو أخبرنا عنه خبرا صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولا أمرا من أمور الخير إلا دلنا عليه، ولا أمرا من أمور الشر إلا حذرنا منه. There's nothing from among the good deeds. The Prophet told us all the doors, all the gates to the good deeds. He taught us every single thing. And whatever is forbidden, he forbid us, he warned us from it. The Prophet used to stand on the minbar saying to the Sahaba, إني أحذركم النار، إني أحذركم النار، إني أحذركم النار. I'm warning you from the hellfire. I'm warning you from the hellfire. I'm warning you from the hellfire. Until the people in the market will hear him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's worried about us. Once, as I said in Abi Dawood, he heard there is a young boy, a young Jew boy. He's going to die. He's going to die. Young boy. And he's going to die. What's the benefit from having him to his group or to his people? He will never use him for collecting money or to fight with him in Ghazwa or Badr. Nothing. If you're looking at like material things, it's no benefit from him. But the Prophet ﷺ wasn't like this. The narration said he was walking and the Sahaba trying, walking behind him, running. The Sahabi said, حتى كانت كنا نرى ثوب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يدور على ركبتيه من سرعته. He is running, and you know the where the izar is like this. When he is running so fast, the izar go all the way up to his knees from running. He want to reach him before he die. He want to save the soul from the hellfire. That's it. He reached him. He said, يا غلام اشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. يا غلام boy. Say لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. Say it. He looked at his father. Then his father said, أطع أبا القاسم فإنه لا يأمر إلا بخير. He said, obey Abu al-Qasim Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. He only ordered people the good things. That's the way he was صلى الله عليه وسلم. لا إله إلا الله. Then he said, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. Then he died. He passed away. The Prophet ﷺ left the house crying and saying, الحمد لله الذي أنقذه بي من النار. الحمد لله that Allah saved him from the hellfire by me. حريص عليكم صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. He spent his whole life for this deen. He spent everything for this deen, to establish the Islam, to carry the message for others. He never, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has anything against anyone in his heart. Never. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I ask you who is the most enemy for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's? Huh? Huh? Abu Jahl, everyone know that. He's the most enemy for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not only him, his son Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl was the same. He was against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he opened Mecca, he ordered the Sahaba, there is a certain people, kill them even if he found them hanging on Kaaba's curtains. ولو كانوا متعلقين بأستار الكعبة وحلقها. Even if they are inside the Kaaba, kill them. That means they have a great sin. One of them is Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl. He heard that, he ran away. Then he found himself nowhere. He returned back. He thought about it. He thought about that. Then he returned back to the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, مرحبا بالراكب المهاجر. Where's the rider who's coming to us? He's muhajir. He was an enemy. But any kind of enemy, it will finish the moment when he became Muslims, because there is nothing in his heart. أي عداوة مهما اشتدت وأي حقد مهما كبر من رجل تجاه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بمجرد إسلامه ينتهي كل شيء. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, not only that, he said صلى الله عليه وسلم, don't curse his father, which is Abu Jahl, because if you curse his father, you might hurt him, hurts his feeling. قال لا تسبوا أباه فإن سب الأموات يؤذي الأحياء. لا إله إلا الله. How he is صلى الله عليه وسلم. How he was صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the one who tried to save everyone. The narration said, in the battle, when everybody started getting back, the Prophet ﷺ, the one who would be in the front. Not like the leaders today, on the last levels. No, he's in the front. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Prophet ﷺ, when he saw the battle of Badr, he raised his hand until the garment, he put it in, around his shoulder. It fell down. And asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, this is the only group of thee being killed. There's no more people will worship in this land. Save them. Praying hard for them. That person, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once in Medina they hear a noise. Something mysterious, a scary noise. The narration said, when the Sahaba get out to see it, they found the Prophet ﷺ was coming back from the sound and riding a horse without any rein. Just like that, which it means he's a very good horse rider to just ride the horse just like that. And he said, لن تراعوا لن تراعوا. Don't worry, don't want nothing, there's nothing. There's nothing. And sallallahu he said, إِنَّهُ لَبَحْ إِنَّهُ لَبَحْ, putting in the horse neck, and he said, it's a very good horse. It's a very good horse. And this is the way to change the subject. He don't want them to talk anymore about the noise. What is this? What is that? No. They just, he changed the subject, talking about now the horse, how it's good, how good it is. The Prophet ﷺ, the first one go there to save, to see what's going on. Before anyone. Now, if you hear the noise outside, until you put your thobe or to take your shoes and get out, maybe 2 or 3 minutes. The Prophet ﷺ, in no time, he run to see what's going on. He worry about his people. He's thinking. The Prophet ﷺ, when he prayed Fajr, saying, مَنْ تَفْقِدُونَ. Who you miss? Who you miss? Where is this person? Where is that person? He's asking about them. He loves him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, they love him so much. As Abu Sufyan said to Biraql, the king of the Rum that day, I haven't seen people love somebody like the Sahaba is doing to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wallahi ma tanakhama nukhamatan wala basaqa illa waqa'at fi kaffi ahadihim qabla an taqa'a ila al-ard. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, they loves him so much, even his, when he spit or anything, when he spit, they will take it before it will go to the line, to the ground. From his barakat, in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who shared with his companion everything he has, the one when he married his enemy's daughter, she became his wife and she loves him so much. And this is one of the benefits from being the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, marriage more than one wife, more than 3 or 4 wives. Some of his wives, like Safiya, her father was killed by the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if the Muhammad wasn't a prophet, a real prophet, you think a woman, she will let her father's killer staying with her and she will never harm him? No. She became his wife and she will sacrifice her soul to save the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And a couple of his wives, they also, their fathers were enemy to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But since they saw the prophets, since they saw how is his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he's dealing with his people, with his wives, with his companion, they admitted that he's the Prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who's so humble to his wives, like when he married to Safiya radiallahu anha, when he wanted to put her on camels, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his knee so Safiya can put her foot on her knee sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then she will ride the camels. Aisha radiallahu anha, Aisha radiallahu anha, there is people from Habasha came, young boys dancing in the end of the masjid by shaking the stirrups and like dancing.